a radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G.
Yo, and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Okay. Yeah.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Yes, over the weekend, this story obviously had very little local coverage. And then all of a sudden, like, Aaron got tipped off 30 seconds before the PR statement came out. And then the PR, like, that's what I saw first. And I thought I just missed this. But all of a sudden, there was just this PR statement from the Texans acknowledging that Tank Dell got shot over the weekend and that he's okay, minor wounds. He's been released from the hospital. But it came out of nowhere.
Yeah, I was parking to go to the highway cantina yesterday, and I got that text from you on our text line with Sean, and I legitimately was stunned.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't expect to see a story like that. And the more details about the story that come out, the crazier it gets, because from the sound of things, it's a 16-year-old who did the shooting.
Mm-hmm.
And it stems from some sort of brouhaha that was completely unrelated to Dell and perhaps the people that even knew Dell. So this little bastard, I guess, just opened up and started popping shots in the middle of a club. And, I mean, this is one of those situations where I get that he's 16, but someone like that with just absolutely no regard for life, I don't care how he was feeling or what it was, like, that's someone you throw the book at, and I don't care that he's a kid.
Yeah, like, it's one thing that's been, like, made very clear is, like there was a fight, but, like, Tank Dell and his group that were there, like, were nowhere near it. They weren't involved in any way, shape, or form, and what you're saying, like, this kid just started shooting, and, like, 10 people got shot. Tank was one of them. You're right.
I mean, like, it's incredible that no one died.
Yeah.
When you see something like that. And I don't know if there's anything that's come out since then. I saw some of the videos after the fact of people stumbling away, clearly wounded. I mean, it is actually a miracle that no one, at least to my knowledge, was killed here. And, you know, to speak from a kind of big picture perspective, it's the people that treat guns like toys, which I'm assuming this 16-year-old is one of those people who thinks he's got a big Schmenzer because he's got a Glock or whatever the hell he's carrying. This is the kind of stuff that lends itself to all these, like, divisive conversations that we have. It's the few dumbasses who are not careful with the guns. You should never be bringing a gun to the club. You should never be bringing a gun anywhere where you're going to be drinking alcohol or anything like that. And, you know, I'll be honest, like, there's a couple of friends that I know, one of whom and thankfully nothing happened, but, like, stupidly in a drunk fit, like, brought a gun with him into a club, and we were like, what are you doing? Get the hell out. He got out, thank goodness. Like, but alcohol plus guns is just the worst possible combination. And, man, Tank Dell was just in town visiting his mother, from what we understand. And look,
he was at the Jersey party 6 days ago.
Right, exactly. I don't want to dump on specific parts of the country too much, but as someone who used to live in Florida for high school, the areas outside of Orlando, not the best. Honestly, most of Florida, not the best.
Mm-hmm.
That this could happen at just some place that's pretty much, like, far from civilization, at least as far as I'm concerned, like an actual city.
It seems like it's crazy. And it's like this, like, open nightclub, it looks like, where they're having some kind of private party. So that's where, when you hear nightclub and you hear 16-year-old, like, that was, to me, was the other. I was like, I'm kind of confused about the story when I first heard it. But as you, it's kind of explained more that it was this private party that was going on and Tank just happened to be there. It's like, it's one of those things where it's sadly the world we live in. Like, it sucks. That, like, growing up in the age that we have grown up in, I mean, like, you know.
Yeah, this is routine.
Yeah, this is normal.
It's routine, and unfortunately, it's either people that, whoever owns this gun, say the kid doesn't own it. It's someone that was irresponsible about storage, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's just some little bastard who got a hold of one, and he just sucks as a person.
Yeah, and like you said, throw the book at him. Like, if you just, like, being, I just don't understand, like, how you're 16 and, like, think this. Like, I don't care where you grow up.
Because, I mean, look.
This is crazy.
Not trying to explain it away. Yeah, you're dumb 16-year-old.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, shoot, there's lots of alternative routes to getting that violent thought out. They're called video games. Mm. But I honestly, I look at this, I'm just really thankful that no one got hurt, and specifically thankful that Tank Dell did not get hurt. Don't want to be biased or anything like that.
No, but like you
know, I mean, Tank Dell missing time for a gunshot after breaking his leg. I was like, come on, we can't have that in 2024.
Obviously, we're glad that all 10 people that were injured are only injured and not killed. The only reason we're talking about this is because Tank Dell was one of the 10 people.
Yeah, it reminds me a little bit of...
We don't talk about every single time a party gets shot up in America.
No,
we don't talk about it.
Well, we probably talk about it every day.
We'd have to fit
today
around
today in party shootings.
Yeah, I mean, probably I feel like the last time we talked about something like this was probably when Brian Robinson, running back from the Commanders, was shot, and then he ended up playing like a couple weeks later. So like probably the last time that like this was like a conversation to be had on sports radio, but. Yeah, it's just, you know, obviously, like, prayers for everyone that was involved. Thankfully, Tank Dell has been released from the hospital. Like, there's been no indication from, like, the sports side of this of, like, long-term effects or anything like that. Obviously, like, things could change. But at least at this point, all we know is it was a minor wound. He's been released from the hospital. He's in good spirits. The Texans are aware. The Texans are in communication with him. And we just go from here. But it was just a stunning.
Yeah.
Before I sent it to you guys, like, I really thought, like, I had just not been on social media for a while because, like, I wasn't. And I was like, did I somehow miss the story? And our group chat's pretty active. So I was like, have none of us seen this?
Yeah,
yet? But it really was just like,
I was checked out on Sunday. Funny.
Yeah. Yeah. He did a day three wrap up show.
I wasted my Saturday watching the fourth through seventh rounds of the NFL draft.
NFL draft Paul.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm a draft Nick now. Yeah, that was the funny part about it. With every player, I just read Lance Zierlein's profile, and I said, I don't know.
Paul Kuiper Jr.
I don't know. Maybe he's good. Maybe he's bad. People seem to be enthralled by the content. But, yeah, so Sunday, your boy checked out entirely.
Good.
Did a little Sunday fun day. Went downtown, a little highway cantina action.
Nice.
Did down the street on the way back, a place that I absolutely hate, but someone texted me that, hey, it's nothing against down the street. My friends always want to go there.
Of the show.
No, they never want to go anywhere else. And then the surprise birthday party that I had a couple of weeks ago, it was at down the street. Like, always it's at down the street. So why is everyone always at down the street? But I saw Vanessa there. Vanessa had some friends, and I was like, yo, Vanessa, can you hook me up? I don't care.
What'd she say?
And she just like, ha, 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 oh, Paul. And I'm like, that's not a yes.
I
want to know what's going on with Tan.
Honestly, I
want to know what's going on with Tan, Toppin, Tan,
no.
Spandex. Well, listen, I was looking pretty hot, so like at least one of them had to have seen me and be like, you know what? I'd love to see this guy at a pool party. I might get blinded by his pastiness, but I bet he's shredded. And oh, he is. Wow.
I bet he knows a lot about Marcus Harris, the quarterback from Auburn.
Oh, let me tell you about Marcus Harris. You know, fifth round, great. You know, a lot of people are pretty excited that the Texans got him in the seventh round. Hashtag War Eagle.
Yeah, it tells you a lot about what Casario values. Look at the guys they drafted. Georgia, Notre Dame, Auburn.
They didn't respect him, and that's why he had to go to Kansas first. Ends his career at Auburn.
Transferred up.
Ends his NFL career with a Super Bowl ring?
Mm.
I don't know.
Only one?
I don't know, babe, but you're looking good in that spandex. What's up?
How else was your weekend, Paul?
I mean, I did a draft show on Friday.
On Friday and Saturday.
I did a draft show on Friday night. And then I did a post-draft show on Friday night. Mm.
I saw you do that. I was like, what are you doing?
What? I'm trying to build a following.
I know.
But yeah, like, I should, like, in retrospect, seeing as, like, you, Joe shows up 40 minutes late.
He had actual circumstances.
Dell doesn't show up on time. Joe leaves 30 minutes early. I mean, I should have just stayed at home. No one wanted to work with me on Friday.
No,
night.
It's not that.
No, it definitely was.
Paul, I did 4 hours of driving so I could work with you.
Yeah, and then you left me early, too.
And then I left you early, too, another hour of driving.
Yeah, Dell didn't even show up on time. I get it. Like, I get it. I get it. I'm just not that big of a deal.
I know, sorry.
I'm washed up, you know.
Washed up?
You know, was working on a Friday night for a second shift, you know, just so I can pay, you know, the rent, you know, the mortgage, actually, because I have a condo.
You do have a condo. Nice. You on the board yet?
No, I'm not. No, we'll see what's going on with that girl too. She's not very
LinkedIn girl.
She's not very conversational via text.
That's tough.
Yeah.
That's tough. All right. The Astros won two games this weekend. We'll get to the Galvez stuff a little bit later. The Astros won two games this weekend, but the whatever. Like, the Rockies suck.
Yeah.
So it's like, whatever. But there were some quotes this weekend that were concerning. We'll get to that next on Glotton George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Paul and Joe inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
We've got a featured restaurant to highlight this week. It's Highway Cantina.
Hell yeah.
In Edo, a great Tex-Mex destination before and after ball games.
The best Tex-Mex destination.
And certainly for Cinco de Mayo, a great spot. Large Marge, Cinco de Mayo.
Oh yeah.
Hoping it's there. We'll be there on the 22nd next month. That'll be our next remote there. So thanks to Highway Cantina for being our featured restaurant to highlight this week. The Astros just made it official. Joey Loperfido is coming up.
Mario Anthony Loperfido! Let's go. Mario Joseph, my bad. Not Anthony.
It's good too, though.
Think of the Sopranos.
If you just would have kept going, I never would have caught it.
You're Mario Joseph!
It's pretty good.
Oh!
A corresponding move will be announced tomorrow by Dana Brown.
Correspond this.
Trey Cabbage will go back down because he was the extra man just for this weekend while they're in Mexico. They got a 27th man on the roster. So he'll go down. They said they wanted to get a good look at him, so they played him in one game for like seven innings, and then they didn't play him on Sunday for the most part. So sure, they got a great look while he got some hits on Saturday's game at least. And then Framber Valdez came back this weekend.
Oh!
He looked pretty good.
Yeah.
But there's some stuff that could concern you, Paul, from this weekend.
Look, they won two games. Great. Win three in a row, and I won't be mad at you.
Beat someone that's above 500. I don't care that they won two games.
At this point, I am just thankful that they are capable of winning multiple games in a row. But until they win three games in a row, I'm going to be condescending and demeaning towards them. And yeah, Joe, I'm looking at some of the quotes that came out of the weekend. Yeah, they won two games by a combined score of 20-4. But Jim Crane twice declined comment to The Athletic last week.
Mm.
Once in a text message to Ken Rosenthal, again Wednesday while visiting Houston's clubhouse at Wrigley Field with his son. Meanwhile, you had Alex Bregman saying this in the midst of a contract year where he's hitting .216. A little salty. Quote, I find zero pressure in regards to playing in a contract year. I play the game to be an elite player in the game. I could give a bleep about anything but playing at a high level. The only thing I want to do is play baseball at a high level as long as I can play the game at a high level. Do you like high levels, Alex Bregman? I find zero pressure in anything besides the pressure I put on myself to perform at a high level four times every single day, regardless of the year, contract year, whatever. I don't give a bleep. I want to play baseball at a high level and play the game well, as long as I can play the game and win. So a lot of basics, a lot of cliches, and
a lot of saltiness,
a lot
right?
of references to high level. And look, he drops two S-bombs along the way. So he got two hits yesterday at the very least. That's neato to bring his average up to .216.
Mm-hmm.
So I see that, and I see someone who's angry. Hey, okay, maybe that anger helps because Jeff Bagwell, the other quote, is hoping the embarrassment that the Astros are feeling turns into embarrassment turns into anger, the anger turns into wins. Here's Jeff Bagwell.
All I know is that these guys have been through a lot over the last 7 years in their whole career at CBAPES. And I got faith in them. I really do. This team is not going to quit. I promise you that. You know, they're probably a little bit embarrassed of how they've played. And hopefully that embarrassment will turn into anger, and anger turns into some wins.
Okay, so I'll work backwards here.
What a formula. Embarrassment turns to anger. Uh-huh. Anger turns to wins. What is this, Yoda talking about the dark side of the Force?
But
fear turns to anger. Anger leads to hate. Hate leads to beating the Rockies twice in Mexico City.
It's a pretty good Yoda. Your words weren't as backwards as they needed to be, but it was pretty good. I enjoyed it. The Bagwell quote, whatever. Like, of course they're not going to quit, man. Like, they're paid millions of dollars.
Wait, you must not.
Some of your worst players right now are all hoping to get contracts very soon. So, we'll see what happens.
Abreu, DFA him, you must.
I do hope that we save the Astros season.
By killing them on Friday?
Yeah. And just a reminder, we killed them first because the Killer Bees also did a funeral for them, but we were first because our show is before theirs.
And just for plausible deniability's sake, Joe was the one who organized the funeral. I just showed up and put on a show. I put on a show.
You put on a suit, too.
I put on a suit.
I don't think the Bees put on a suit.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I want credit if they turn it around.
Wait, I like those.
Joe buried the Astros, unlike Jeff Bagwell and his anger or whatever thing that he wants the Astros to play well. They heard you and I bury them.
Mostly Joe.
Mostly me. And they responded. I want the credit.
He wants to be the start of the championship.
You can have the credit.
I'm the tombstone.
You can have the credit.
Oh, that you just want.
I want to be the tombstone.
That's what's wrong with hot take culture.
To be fair, there's no video evidence in short form of me eulogizing the Astros.
In short form.
In short form. There is a poll. So people will reference your video. So it's going to be your fault.
Yeah,
Paul.
Those reels live forever.
Your video you posted.
Yeah, but I mean, everyone can tell that I'm just putting on a show.
You were
like
crying.
I always do. Yeah, because I'm a great actor. I'm one of the best that there's ever been in Houston sports radio. The best actor that's ever been in this side of things. Sometimes I'm lying and you can't even tell. Sometimes I'm being sarcastic and you can't even tell. But okay, Joe, if you want the credit, if you want, you know, to be known for in your first year as a radio show host, the guy who killed a team on April 26th and it blowing up in your face, do you. All you, buddy. You got it. It's all for you.
I'm the motivator.
I joined along because at this point I'm just trying to find entertaining ways to talk about this.
But here's the thing. At least if I
killed them. Bad baseball players.
If I killed them and they win the World Series, at least it's the Astros. You killed the Rangers.
Yeah, I killed
them. And last year is your fault.
No, it wasn't. They were dead.
I don't know.
They were dead. The Astros just had to win like two games in September. With like a couple more games.
So
they were dead. I was right, and the Rangers were wrong for doing that.
Right pick, wrong result.
Yeah.
The results were wrong.
Yeah, you're right.
I never said anything wrong.
But the Bregman one is interesting. He's salty.
He's a little salty.
He's frustrated. He's not good. Like he's not been good. Like his last hit was fine. I guess it's a little more encouraging to some of the other guys because at least like his were these moonshots into the atmosphere of Mexico City. Kyle Tucker's stuff was just flying
just
all over the place.
Fugazi home run.
Like, dude, like that first one he hit makes no logical sense.
The atmosphere in Mexico City, lacking it is.
I thought the first one, though, that you mentioned was interesting, Paul, because
Crane's not even talking about him now?
Because that is one thing that, like, when they're good, he likes to talk frequently. He's not afraid of the microphone. He's not afraid to give comments to reporters.
Yeah, talks a little trash.
Yeah, man. Locally, nationally.
And
like
now it's like he's deferring it to Bagwell. Bagwell's at charity events, and people are like, hey, you guys suck, dude. Thoughts?
Yeah. So
he's like, oh, well, hopefully embarrassment leads to anger, which leads to wins.
Yeah. I'm over Baggy.
You're over Baggy? Why? Astro legend. He's a Hall of Famer.
I was thinking about that when I saw these clips on social media. Just thinking like, man, why would you ever want to influence the baseball operations of a team that you're a legend at?
Oh,
like
it's one of the worst things you can do.
How much static gets thrown his way this year because, you know, he's a voice in the room for how they make these terrible decisions they've been making basically since they won the World Series in November of 2022. Like, if he was just Astros legend Jeff Bagwell, not, you know, the hand to the king, it would just be, hey, you have a new vice for the boys to turn it around? And like, now it's like the temperature is so much higher in every room. It's like, oh my God! This Astros season's a disaster. Defend yourself, Jeff Bagwell. It's like, God, he could have just been, hey, hit 500 home runs. Hope the team turns it around. Long season, blah blah blah. I am glad that they're not doing long season anymore.
It does seem like they've moved on.
That's a good pivot from long season.
Yeah.
To now, I hope they're upset.
Yeah, they've got rid of long season. It seems they've got rid of the back of the baseball card. They just acknowledged that Jose Abreu is bad. They went from 8 to 10 game win streak to 3, 4, or 5. So like they're moving the bar,
scaling it down. They've been humbled.
Yeah. But to your point, like being part of a front office or a coach of the organization you played for never works out.
John Elway.
They won a Super Bowl.
I mean, he still got fired in the end.
He didn't get fired. They would never fire him. They
started seven different starting quarterbacks. Yeah.
But
they did win a Super Bowl.
When he first came in, I mean, they made it to a Super Bowl and won a Super Bowl.
Yes. But like Patrick Ewing at Georgetown was a disaster.
Yeah.
Who was the St. John's coach? Chris Mullins. Same thing. Like, it just so off. And maybe it's more coaches, I feel like, where like if you coach where you played, it doesn't go well, but yeah, I would advise against
it. It's just you're running the risk of the beloved figure coming back, and then after a couple years, the place where you're beloved has to look around and be like, God, we need to fire those.
It clouds your legacy a little bit.
The only way to do it is to be Jim Harbaugh, which, by the way, for the first like 6 years of Jim Harbaugh's tenure, it was, oh my God, we might have to fire Jim Harbaugh.
I will say, too, Ozzie Newsome, I mean, Ozzie Newsome was with the Browns while they moved from Cleveland to Baltimore, and he played with the Browns his whole career, too. I mean, Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah.
Maybe the greatest football architect of the last 30 years.
One. Yeah. I just.
But never mind.
I feel like the.
never mind.
There
you
are
you
examples of it working out, is all I'm saying.
No, yeah, for sure. Yeah. I just, like, I wouldn't want to risk it. Like, if I was a good athlete.
His jersey is retired. He can just be a
They're not, taking it down.
Yeah, they're never going to take it down.
That would be funny, though. Okay? If he got so bad, Jim Crane was like, this is your fault. Bring it down.
Take it down and then just put up Jose Abreu's contract.
Yeah, just be like, this is, put the back of his baseball card up there. Just be like, here you go. This is what's in the rafters now. All right. What's going on in the NFL? Around the draft, outside the draft, we got a new contract being handed out to the best tight end in football, maybe in football history. We'll get to that next on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Dad, hush!
Tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Paul Gallant and Joe George. The 10-minute drill starts now.
Football time.
All right, 10-minute drill here on ESPN 97.5, 92.5. I'm Glenn George. So Travis Kelce just signed a 2-year contract extension with the Kansas City Chiefs. So people were kind of wondering how long he was going to play for. But he's going to, I would guess this is at least 3 more years now total for Travis Kelce. Not
Man,
too surprised.
Chiefs didn't even give him a discount.
Damn.
When he's dating a mogul billionaire.
Now,
how much does he really care about winning if he's looking for a full contract and not just taking the minimum to be Taylor Swift's stay-at-home husband?
Tom Brady never would have done that.
Nope.
That's why Tom
Brady put a ring on it before he started getting discounted.
Yeah, maybe that's a good point. Maybe Travis needed to get engaged. Travis.
Yeah, lock it in.
Honestly, he might be running out of time, right?
Yeah, I think he's running out of options, right, Paul?
Well, I don't know if he's running out of options because he could just have another reality TV show where he dates somebody from every single state.
He should do that again. By the way, when they break up, he should do that.
Come on, Sean.
That's what I mean.
You don't believe in love?
I don't. Well, I believe in love. I don't know enough about their relationship. I'm playing the odds.
Here's the thing. I mean, look. She sometimes needs new content. She just released a new album.
Mm-hmm.
But for the album after that, I mean, get ready, Trav.
What's Taylor Swift's favorite album? The next one.
And what does the next one usually involve? Breakups.
That's a good point.
I'm so relatable. I'm a billionaire. And I'm dating a football player. And my fans are obsessed with me at a really creepy level. Guess what? I wouldn't pee on them if they were burning alive at a stake. Because when you're psychotic fan, you'll buy my poop no matter how I present it to you. That's from Taylor Swift's new album. Did you hear that one?
No.
Yeah.
No, I missed that one. Zeke's back.
Want to hear some of her other songs?
No. Zeke's back with the Cowboys.
Woo!
some TV changes real
One
quick.
1 year, $3 million.
Is he dating a mogul?
He might be.
Is that why he's taking a discount?
I don't think so. Jason Kelsey's going to be a part of Monday Night Football. Boomer Esiason out at CBS.
I'm a little bummed about Boomer being out. Yeah. Boomer's one of the few people that actually gave opinions that I was like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. So he's out.
Matt Ryan in.
Phil Simms out. Poor one out.
Yep.
Phil Simms, one of the random people, the random three people I've decided to block on Twitter. I think I'm going to unblock Phil for this. I feel bad. This is
as cool. Peace offering?
Not even a peace offering. I just didn't want to hear him on the broadcast with Jim Nantz.
Blocking him on Twitter, like, muted him?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I do that with the old, it's him, Chris Broussard, and Joel Osteen. Those are the three people I've blocked.
Well, I get the third one and the second one.
Yeah, and Phil Simms, because I was always annoyed with him saying heem. No, it's him. And we're trying to find heem. No, him. It's him, Phil. It's him. So that was enough to merit a block, yes.
J.J. Watt and Matt Ryan will be a big part of the CBS coverage. Seems like J.J. is going to be on there weekly.
They're getting Watt to show up every day now?
I don't know. I think the way they put the graphic out with like the new crew, it just seems like he's going to be there.
Spike Terror?
Hopefully not. I hope he learned his lesson. Now, I know he has responsibilities in London or wherever his soccer team is now.
Does he have responsibilities?
He's an owner. Okay.
Does he have responsibilities for the soccer
team? I don't
think
he has responsibilities.
Besides taking photos and posting them and getting social media.
I think he can do it after the football season ends every year.
That's a fair.
I think he can take all of his pictures then.
Yeah, look, we'll see how this Chucklehead show goes. I mean, they're terrible. No one actually wants to watch them. It's an hour long, four people waiting their turn to speak. There's no actual back and forth between anyone.
Yeah,
they never touch on anything controversial.
I was thinking about
it. The Fox show is way better. The CBS one has always been bad.
Yeah, and really, I don't watch the CBS show beyond the like halftime report where they go,
same.
Out in Cincinnati, we got a crazy one. Oh, yeah. Look at the rain in Cleveland. And like, until basically the AFC Championship game, I do not have to watch them for more than 2.5 minutes at a time where they're just bouncing from game to game. So I don't really care who they put up there.
Same.
To be honest.
I don't watch. I consume gambling and fantasy football content on Sunday mornings though.
Nice.
Like that's all I don't know.
Who do you watch?
Our old friend.
Who?
Matt Perrault. I actually give him credit. I actually think he does a good like gambling show.
Well, what why are you saying actually?
Well, when I first
that sounded demeaning right there.
Okay.
I have no opinion here. It's like you're trying to set me up for something here.
If you don't know, you probably don't.
I don't. I don't know anything.
This person, I used to work with him on the network.
Okay.
And when I first started working with him, he told me gambling was like made by the devil. And he hated UFC. And then now all he does is like gambling and UFC content. It's incredible. But it's actually pretty good. Then I like Fantasy Pros, which is my fantasy football like content that I, even if I don't like, I don't have questions. I don't know. I just like fantasy football conversations on Sunday mornings. It's the only time I really ever partake in that kind of content.
I like watching paint dry.
It's not that bad.
I like watching.
Here's what you should do on your fantasy football team. Which, by the way, here's a bunch of advice that probably has nothing to do with your team because these players don't play for your team.
Good point.
I like Michael Strahan and Terry Bradshaw just laughing for 3.5 minutes straight.
So much.
Jimmy Johnson getting in on it.
Yeah.
You know, maybe Gronk's in studio that week. He's telling jokes.
Gronk is good on studio. Like, I do give him
I mean, they just have 17 people on that show, but...
Yeah.
Not enough.
They're all good.
Amazon Prime is the best one, where they have, like, the seven-person booth.
Yeah, they have, like, three different rooms.
And Tony Gonzalez just gets mad at everybody who gets to talk more than him.
Mm-hmm. Which is everybody.
So, a couple other things from the draft that happened. Sean, your boy, A.D. Mitchell fell quite a bit in the draft.
Because of the slander? Yeah.
Because he has diabetes?
Yeah.
So apparently he fell in the draft, and there was some slander. And his new GM, Chris Ballard of the Indianapolis Colts, was unenthused, I would say.
I don't know. I mean, I read some of the bullshit that was said on TV. I mean, just the typical, excuse my language, our typical league, unnamed sources, you know, bad interview. That's such bullshit. I mean, f-ing is. It's bullshit. Like, put your name, like, put your name on it. I'm tired of, we tear these young men down. These are 21, 22 young men. And if you can, if people out there can tell me they don't, they're perfect in their lives, it's crap. It's crap. This is a good kid. And, you know, for that, for those reports to come out, like, you know, my, I said it last year. It's bullshit. I'm sorry. I apologize for the language. I don't, but I do.
I love the end there. I apologize for the language. I don't, but I do.
He apologized a lot along the way there.
Yeah.
I agree with him from this perspective. The anonymous reports that get put out about some of these prospects, the one that he's talking about with Adonai Mitchell was that when he has diabetes, he's difficult. Like, when his diabetes is acting up, he's a little bit of a diva or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like we've all had moments where, because we're not feeling great, we have perhaps been a little snippy or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But here's my pushback with Ballard. Now, I agree. It's ridiculous what is said about these, like, 18 to 21-year-olds. At the same time, seeing as I hate pretty much all draft content, I do really enjoy those random Bob McGinn nuggets about how some player has some very small thing off the field and how one scout has a concern about it.
Yeah, I get where he's coming from, but it's also just kind of part of the process. Like, it's kind of being a professional athlete. Like, it's going to happen. If you have something in your past, it's going to get brought up. It's going to get brought up anonymously. No one's ever going to put their name on it. I get why he would want that, so he would not hire them, I guess. But, and I guess he's more mad that some of that stuff leaks, but this is what happens. Like, to me, like, this character stuff.
Yeah, if you have diabetes, we're going to make it a character
concern. But, like, it's the same thing as the Spencer Rattler thing. Like, it's all nonsense.
I'm Scott Malkinson. I have diabetes.
That one's like Rappaport. It's like, the reason he is falling is because he was an a-hole when he was 17.
Yeah.
On a TV show.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
honestly, kind of legit reason.
I kind of wish they just didn't. He just should not have apologized.
If you're terrible as a 17-year-old, are you going to be that much better as a 24-year-old? 713-780-3776. How much growth?
Not a lot.
How much better is he going to be?
God, I can't imagine Paul when he was 17.
I was the worst.
Character concerns?
I used to think...
Do you think you would get drafted if there was a reality show about the senior year of short course preparatory?
Yeah. Well, I didn't know. I didn't. I wasn't drinking then.
Okay.
Didn't drink until literally the first weekend afterwards.
Yes,
that was my first drink ever.
Susie or whatever.
Yeah. Susie. No, come on, get it right.
But you have said that, like, your teachers thought you were a nightmare.
In middle school.
In middle school.
If they brought up my middle school,
depends
would be
how far
the
back.
Well,
depends how far
we
back
can't draft Paul
Gallant
because when he was in middle school, he was the worst.
Oh, the middle school reports is where I would have gotten.
Okay,
like I would have gone down a couple of drafts rounds because of the middle school. I was a model student at that high school. Except for the one time I got in trouble because I made up a quote in the school paper as a sports editor because I was too lazy to do an article about women's tennis. I was like, so I just wrote in, my dad is a good coach, to get the one quote. Because I spent, like, the whole time doing this, like, huge report on the Bucks and stuff. And then they were like, well, you have to do the girls' tennis. And I was like, what do you think? I made up a quote from, like, the daughter of the person who was the coach of the team. And it just said, my dad is a good coach. That was
How did you get caught?
Because she told my professor. So I owned up to it immediately. I got, like, a D for the grade. It was my sophomore year. Dumb 15-year-old.
That's a good...
And then
you went on to get a degree from
in journalism.
Syracuse.
The best journalism school
awesome.
In the country. They tried to suspend me for that.
From school?
Yeah, they tried to suspend me from school. And my teacher, like, stood up for me. He was like, yo, whoa.
Like, it's a dumb mistake.
It was crazy. Some kid who went to Princeton in the next year's draft class got absolutely hammered at the senior retreat that we would have at the beginning of the second semester for high school every year. Absolutely hammered. And they gave him a half suspension so they wouldn't have to put it on his transcript so we could still get into Princeton.
Wow.
Yeah. Hmm. F that guy.
Hmm.
He sucks.
Wow. That is like how, you know, big-time college football teams handle discipline.
Yeah,
That's how, like, legit. Florida State handles discipline.
That's how Shorecrest handles discipline.
Make them run the bleachers.
You're at a high enough level, you're okay.
And last thing here, we'll play from the draft over the weekend. Keon Coleman, He is the Stephon Diggs replacement in Buffalo. He had his opening press conference. He was wearing this bright yellow jacket.
Oh.
And it was a, he was asked, I believe, it was just like, where is your clothes from? Or whatever. And this was the response.
Nah, man, you forgot I went to school in Michigan for 2 years? You, guess where I got this from, though? That I'm saying you got to guess. You're going to be wrong, though, but guess.
Tom Izzo.
Nah. Macy's. What you mean? They be on sale on the rack. All the colors. Look, $79.89. Nice little deal. You can get the trench coat for like $100. Nice little. I'll take you there personally. I might go get some more colors. I need a blue one and another red one. See, I ain't know nothing about Thanksgiving. I shop like my mom. I get my coats in the summertime. You gotta shop a season or two before, just in case, you know, and it be cheaper. Cause you go at Thanksgiving, everybody in Thanksgiving, you know what I'm saying?
This is good.
Who
we
starting with?
Who yelled good?
Oh,
voice?
We could go. Oh, my bad. Hold up. Y'all can hear me? This on or this off? All right, bro. I'm Jamaican Sean Hovey. Ain't trying to set me up. Who we got going first?
That was the start of the press conference.
Yeah, that was like, the press conference hasn't even started yet.
That was them just asking, like, hey, how do you already have a winter coat? Because you came from Florida State. And he goes, well, I played at Michigan.
There's some great advice in there. Shop a season ahead. You'll get your jackets cheaper. It's good advice.
Everyone's shopping at Thanksgiving.
Yeah, true. It's good advice. Or, like, you always get stuff at the end of the year. Like, you get your swimsuits and whatever for next year at the end of summer. Always cheaper. I very much just enjoyed that back and forth.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Seems like a fun guy.
Yeah, he seems like a fun guy.
Vibes way better than Stephon Diggs.
Yeah, those are better vibes than Stephon Diggs vibes.
Stephon
sure.
Diggs glaring
the
at
the Bills
Josh
are probably
Allen.
Like, oh, this is going to be way better than Stephon Diggs.
The Bills social media team has to be like, oh, hell yes.
Yeah.
Our job just got way easier.
Yeah, I don't know if it, like, he doesn't, I don't get the vibe that if you ask the Bills players who would not be able to date their sister. I don't think Keon Coleman's going to be the answer.
No, you don't think so?
Just going to take a guess. I think Keon Coleman's going to be okay.
Yeah, I mean, listen,
financially, you know.
A man who shops at Macy's is a man I respect.
So when's this Macy deals happen? When's this Macy, like, contract happening?
Already.
Like, if he doesn't have one yet, he's going to sign.
I don't know.
The spokesperson.
If you're working at Macy's, I don't know what you did this Monday morning with that isn't signing this game.
Yeah. All right. The Deshaun Watson trade is officially in the books, I think. I saw Texans cap say there might be another fifth rounder next year, but it's pretty much in the books fully at this point. We look back on that next year on Glotton George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to Gallant and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
We all know that on this show, when it comes to Paul Gallant, it goes down in the DMs, especially on LinkedIn.
yeah. Right.
But during the break.
Oh, I got it.
Paul seemed a little distracted.
I got a little vicious message.
And then he said he got a DM on Twitter.
From what is clearly a burner account on someone's Instagram. Do you want me to read this?
Yes.
This is pretty vicious. Dude, stop being so full of yourself. You are abrasive, annoying AF, loud as F, and have horrible sports takes. Well, it sounds like I'm doing my job, if that's what's happening at first here. Continues. Stop saying you're hot. But my mommy tells me that. And can get girls. I don't think I've ever said I can get girls. I think that's the whole point. Is that
it's very catch and release.
It still never goes anywhere despite this. Continue saying, you are not an attractive dude. And I know girls that have gone out with you and said you are as douchey as you come across. Eat a slice of humble pie.
Damn.
I wish this person had sent this from their actual account.
Ah, me too.
Right?
Because yeah. I wish me I knew too. Who this was.
They're a pussy for sending it from a burner account.
Yeah,
they are.
Like, it would be really funny if like Vanessa just DM'd you from her
that
account.
That would be hilarious.
I was like going through at the first part when they just called you annoying. I was like, that might be Michael Carroll. Because his studio bumps up against ours.
Yeah, he asked on Twitter if we had a cat in the studio.
No, that was just Taylor Swift's new album.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was direct from her album.
That was.
He made a good joke calling it Tortured Cats Department.
Oh, man. Well, you know what? Hey.
Yeah. Listen, I miss getting the mean text. It's about time that we got one.
Yeah.
I think who that's from.
They mostly come towards me now. The most
the bullet sponge
honestly,
of the show.
No, the most strays, like our little debate about if the Astros should just suck this year, dude, that the text line was vicious to both of us. That was people did not like my side, people did not like your side. People were very mean. People were like, it was like very clear. It was like some people thought I was very right, and some people thought you were very right. I was like, oh wow, this is getting nasty.
Yeah, that means it's good debate.
Yeah, I guess so. Like there's like clearly two sides here. The Texans. Watson trade is, it looks like it's pretty much done. I think Texans cap said there might be another fifth rounder in 2025. I'm not sure, but it looks like on paper, at least according to like what Adam Schefter says, that this trade is complete. Now, the reason why there might be a 2025 fifth rounder depends on how deep you want this thing to go. Like, I'm not one of those people, and I believe you're not either, that considers Stephon Diggs as part of this trade because, yes, you use the 23 first from Cleveland, that eventually domino effect got you Stephon Diggs. I don't view it that way. I think that's pushing it too far. But when you look at this, just with the draft capital they've used, the Browns got Deshaun Watson and a sixth-round pick that they used yesterday from the Jerry Jeudy trade. The Texans received Kenyon Green, Damian Pierce, Will Anderson, Tank Dell, Kamari Lassiter, Jamal Hill, the linebacker they took in the sixth round, and Caden Bullock. That is the trade. All in all, it's finally over. The Texans crushed them.
Yeah, I mean, Deshaun Watson's barely played.
That's why.
Yeah, even just the fact that Deshaun Watson is not on your team, therefore you draft CJ Stroud. It's like you kind of just won just by opening up the quarterback position. You mentioned that we're not counting Stephon Diggs because of that was kind of a move.
Yeah.
Are we counting Will Anderson?
Well,
they did trade up.
Yeah, I mean,
they used one of their own picks.
That's true.
Famously so, they used this year's Texans pick instead of this year's Browns pick.
Yeah, I think you have to include Will Anderson because you used that first essentially to get him.
But then you'd have to add a first to the Browns.
Well, no, because that first went to Arizona.
They gave up a first to get Will Anderson.
Yeah. That's fair. It's complicated.
They didn't just pick him at 12.
So the guy that the Cardinals got is part of that?
No,
trade?
Yeah, he can't be part of it.
How does it work then?
I'm just saying that Will Anderson was drafted third overall because they traded up from 12 using other stuff to get him.
But it's – so the reason why I include Will Anderson –
Why is Stephon Diggs not in this
Because
trade?
Will Anderson was one move. To get Stephon Diggs, you had to make like three trades. You had to trade Deshaun Watson – you then had to trade the pick to Minnesota. You then had to trade that pick to Buffalo. Like, to me, it's like it goes too far down the line of, like, what is and what is not still that original piece, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, Will Anderson's
but
like –
but it's like this kind of the same thing.
Yeah,
you gave up a first to draft Will Anderson.
All right, well, then we'll include Stephon Diggs then. Because I'm not giving up Will Anderson. So now you're backing me into a corner, and I'm including Stephon Diggs.
Yeah, it's just a weird line to draw where it's like you're counting Will Anderson. I'm like, I guess he counts, but it's like half of Will Anderson.
Yeah, I understand.
Because it's half the first-round picks.
The only other reason why, though, like you really won this trade is because Deshaun Watson sucks. Like, even if this trade is as is, everything is the exact same, but Deshaun Watson is not trash at football. I don't know if CJ Stroud's great, so like that helps. But because Deshaun Watson's so bad, like that's what makes this trade look even worse. Because in the end, like I still get what the Browns were doing.
I do as well. Yeah, you're right. He's barely played. And when he's played, he hasn't been good. And at no point have anyone in Cleveland seemed really excited since he's finally set foot on the field.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's the awkward elephant in the room. Now, look, it's not like the haul was huge. You did get Will Anderson and Tank Dell. You take a look at the rest of these guys. For the most part, we have no idea about the future of all of those guys. Would you take those two players over a star caliber quarterback? Probably not. That's the thing. Watson's not the star caliber quarterback based off of what we've seen the last two seasons.
Yeah, and that's where what side are you on with the Watson stuff long term? Like, do you think that he figures it out?
No idea. But
I thought you were going to ask what side are you on, like, the Watson thing. Like, did he do it or not?
I don't know. I kind
of
feel like,
was that inbounds or out of bounds?
Are you defending Deshaun Watson?
You like Ari Gold fan? Are you like Johnny Drama, a fan of those? No, Joe. I'm not saying that.
You still watching Entourage?
I cruised through the whole thing.
Already?
It was 30 minutes episodes. Put it on the background. Yeah, you don't have to watch it.
Oh, okay.
You don't have to watch it. Seriously. I truly do not know if he's ever going to get it back. I have a hard time ruling him out ever being the same player he used to be again, because it feels like at some point we got to see it. But at the same time, we have seen guys like Russell Wilson lose it very quickly. You know, I mean, Russ is my age. And
that's old for football.
We're already looking at him. I get it, but when you're a quarterback, that's one of those positions where when you're in your mid-30s, you can still, at the very least, be somewhat productive.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
For
so
sure.
I'm going, if I had to put money down, I would bet on it not living up to that contract, but I could see him being decent.
Yeah.
I guess really, like, that's just not what they were looking for when they gave him that money, all guaranteed.
Yeah, honestly, the contract part of it feels like it's almost just impossible to live up to that contract.
Yeah.
Like how do you, unless you win in two Super Bowls? Well, I guess just one Super Bowl for that franchise. For any franchise, one Super Bowl is enough. But at this point, like, they'd be happy if he started in a playoff game for them, because he hasn't done that yet. Joe Flacco did. So the Texans got away with the trade here. Like, they are the victors of this deal, but at the same time, it's largely because of Deshaun Watson. All right, what's left for the Texans to do? And what do you want versus what do you think is the reality of where this franchise is? That's next year on Glant and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.